I know. Trouble with her, she was telling the truth. Please turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14. By the way, we have to be at the hospital tomorrow at 7 a.m. I believe Tammy's surgery is scheduled for 8 a.m., so pray for her in the morning, pray for her tonight, and pray for her in the morning. It's a major, she'll be bedridden for 6 weeks afterwards. It's a major thing that we're looking at. Here's the title of my message. And then, of course, Elizabeth, they have a spot on her breast, and they're going to be taking that off Wednesday. So it's not cancer, though. We understand it's not, but they need to get it off there. So you pray for Elizabeth Jewell. I'm sorry, Elizabeth Laurel. Mrs. Jewell's down in Florida. But two Elizabeths, amen. Pray for her. We need to pray for one another, amen. I'm glad to see Emmy and Leo back. They were out of town last week. Glad you're here. Good to see you. There was so much hype over this Ohio State and Michigan game. And to be honest with you, I sat there with David, and I was telling him, I wanted Ohio State to win, but I'll be honest with you, if Michigan would have won, I wouldn't have lost my religion. I would have killed a couple of people, but I wouldn't have lost mine. But I didn't really scream and yell that bad. I did yell a little bit at the referees because roughing the center. That's got to be going on to Ripley's, believe it or not. The whole world said, roughing the center? but no one calls roughing the center. That's impossible. But anyways, I was telling Miss Ruth Friday, I said, you know, I would to God that Christians and myself would get so excited for the things of God like we do for this Ohio State-Michigan game. I mean, the whole world, I mean, not the whole world, but all through America, and I wouldn't be surprised if even different countries were viewed in on that game. That was the biggest, they said it was the biggest game of the century. They said there never was a number one and number two with no losses and things like that. They said it was it was a tremendous game. And I thought Ohio State was just about that much better, and that's just about how it turned out. They were just that much better, just a little bit. They're both two great teams. They're both two tremendous teams, and they really were. And we have a better coach, and I think that's what makes a difference for us. But anyways, but he needs to learn to rush a little more. But anyways, I'm glad God called me to preach. Otherwise, I definitely would have been been another Woody Hayes out there. Anyways, I told Miss Ruth, I said, man, that's amazing how we all get caught up in this. And the whole world, I mean, every day I turn the radio on, all week, Terry, every channel, TV, the news, everything was just Ohio State, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan. I mean, you just couldn't get away from it. In the paper, I don't care even if you don't like football, you couldn't have got away from it. I don't know where you could have went on the planet Earth that got away from the Ohio State football and Michigan game. But I got kicking that around. I mentioned to Brother Jimmy, and he gave me a thought too. I said, I think I'm going to bring a message about this. And so today I want to preach to you, and I hope you'll get what I'm trying to show you. Here's the title of my message, Brother Danny. Who is number one? Who is number one? There was a battle for number one this week. And by the way, that battle's still not over. They still have to play again in a bowl game. Today they'll say Ohio State's number one, but in 50 days there'll be another football game, and unless they win, they won't be number one. Are you with me? But I want to preach on the thought and the subject. Who is number one. And Brother Wade, I think your children were I would love to get a picture of your babies today. They both had Ohio State uniforms on. Little Sydney and Baby Wade. I'd love to get a picture of Preacher, man. But you got a camera. Do you got a camera, Linda? After church, well, if you do, I want to get a picture of those kids with the preacher. That was probably going to have him flank Brother David, too, and get a picture of it. And that'd be really a great picture. Amen. After church, we got to get a picture of that, okay? We got a cameraman right here. So after church, make sure we get Brother Dave. He'll be a good sport. And he will do it. I'll tell him I'll break his arm. Anyways, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm kidding and stuff. I went down to teen class today, Brother Mike. Eddie, I don't know if little Eddie prepped him last week. Hey, preachers, come and be on your best behavior. I don't know if little Eddie prepped him to be good for me or if they were just terrified of me. They all said, no one said nothing. They were perfect kids. But I thought, you know, they'd be, you know, but man, they were all setting them straight. You know, I said, wow, would Eddie give you each $5 to listen to me or something? We had a good time with the kids. I'll tell you, we have got the greatest youth pastor and wife. Ed Wilson, our youth pastor, is a dynamic youth pastor. And Bethel, we're blessed to have him. We're blessed to have Robert and David as associate pastors. This church, we might not have hundreds of people, but I'm going to tell you right now, we're blessed with depth. Jimmy said the reason Ohio State won because they had more depth. There's a lot of depth in this church, in a lot of different areas too. Alrighty, Isaiah chapter 14. Who's number one? I'm going to try to settle that matter today. Who's number one? We know Kewpie Hamburger's number one. The girls brought me a Kewpie Hamburger's last Sunday night. Oh, those were good. I looked up the history about those Kewpie hamburgers too. By the way, someday you want to know? I'll tell you about them. But I'll say one thing: they came out 25 years before McDonald's had a hamburger. And Dave, the man at Wendy's, what's Dave's name? Thomas. He got his idea. Wendy's got their idea from Kewpie. He'll tell you that. You buy the Frosties at Kewpie or at Wendy. I was eating them when I was a kid. They called them chocolate milkshakes at Kewpie's before they ever called them Frosties at Wendy's. All right, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Some of you are going, what's that guy talking about? We're talking about a hamburger that's made for heaven. You got to like grease, though. You got to like grease to like them. Oh, I love that. I love them. There's only six of them left now, Brother Billy. Six. There used to be over 200 of them in America. Now there's only six, and three of them is in Lima, Ohio, where your son pastors. Billy's almost in heaven. He's not, but you can see it from there, amen? Just follow don't follow the yellow brick road. Follow the Kewpie road, amen? And in any event, we had a lot of fun with that. God bless you. I ran off a thing off the computer. Dave looked up for me. So I used the Kewpie as a letterhead, and I wrote the girls a letter. Thank you for bringing my Kewpies. Yeah, Carl. Those are words of wisdom. Those are words of wisdom, Brother Carl. Thank you. Yeah, once in a while, though, not bad. Yeah. You're right. I agree, Carl. Boy, they are good, though, man. Mm. How come everything that tastes good is not good for you? I don't know. I love spinach. Spinach is good for you. Yeah, now it kills you. You guys want me to preach on Kewpie hamburgers today? You want me to preach on who's number one? Okay. Isaiah chapter 14. I love you, church. You're precious to my heart. If I don't see you before Thanksgiving again, I hope you all have a great Thanksgiving. Notice Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14. It's talking about Satan, the devil, Lucifer. You know, if he has his trinity, like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Oh boy, has he? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. We call this in the Bible, in college, the five I wills of Satan. I will, number one, ascend into heaven. I will, number two, exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will, number three, sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's where God comes from, by the way. Not Michigan, but a lot farther than that. Amen. And I will, number four, ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. How many see that? There was a time, many, many thousands of years back, Satan tried to rise above God. The creation tried to go above the Creator. And he found out he was not better. He wanted to be number one. Satan wanted to be number one. He still wants to be number one. He's number two. And then there's God, number one. There's one and two, battling it off. One and two. Are you with me? Yet God put him down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that I can be a blessing to the people that I sure want to be. Thank you for the privilege and honor of being the pastor of this great church. Oh God, I pray this that your hand will continually be on this church, and that we can reach people for the cause of Christ. May all the outreaches that we have in many different areas, Lord, may you bless each one of them. And help me today speak, and Father, anoint me with the glad tidings of Christ. And Father, help me to do well for you that I can be a blessing to their life. We pray if there's people not know Christ as Savior, pray that some today would trust Christ as Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. Yesterday, the number one and the number two teams in America squared off. They played each other. Ohio State, 11-0. Michigan, 11-0. They squared off in Columbus, Ohio. Over 100,000 people. Over 100,000 people was in that Ohio Stadium, the Horseshoe, in Columbus, Ohio. They said over 50,000 was on the outside of the stadium. So in that perimeter, probably within a 1 or 2 miles radius of that stadium, you had over 150,000 to 200,000 people. I think that's a lot of people for an event of a football game. Amen? By the way, I guarantee you there's a lot of Christians there. There was people, I mean, Christians like sports too. Are you with me? And people got there days ahead. David Richards showed me when he was there, he took pictures. They have these big, they take church buses and they paint them red Ohio State Buckeyes and they make little campers out of them and they come and park there and they stay there for days waiting for the game. It's unbelievable. And for several weeks, people have talked about this matchup. You know, every year it's a big game. But this year, with the teams not losing, even with no losses, it was bigger than ever. And for weeks now, the matchup of the team from up north and Ohio State. Every week, 3 weeks away, 4 weeks, you know, closer and closer. And we keep talking. Then it finally came. This week, constantly on the radio and TV, all you heard about was the hype about and the excitement about the game between Ohio State and Michigan. Mm-hmm. The ratings were off the charts. Man, I'd like to have the money they paid for one commercial during that game. I could pay cash for a new building out there in our lands. Isn't that amazing? Think about what I want you to get. You got to get this. Then you'll understand what I'm trying to show you. Millions. Think with me. There were more than just 200,000 people all around that stadium in Columbus. There were millions of people, and I was one of them. And probably half this church was some of them too. Jimmy, millions of people watched by satellite and TV. I'm here with me. I mean, not only are they just inside that stadium. all around the United States and all, maybe in some parts of the world, people were watching that football game at 3:30. For 2.5 hours, they watched a football game that was right down to the wire. They said it was the biggest game of the century. The whole country got excited about this matchup between these two teams. Who will be number one in the nation all week long? Who will be number one? And they talked about the great defense of Michigan. They talked about the great offense of Ohio. And they back and forth, man. And then Mr. Bo Schembechler, he died right the day before. And man, there was more to talk about because he was a Michigan coach, but he also was with Woody Hayes as an assistant coach. And I'm glad they paid tribute to him at the game yesterday. And he was a tremendous football coach, by the way. But all the hype, Brother Bobby. It just seemed like they got more. I mean, they just couldn't run out of the hype. And now Ohio State, the game finally takes place, and Ohio State wins 42-39. David Richard was shouting. Dad was saying, amen. Brother Howard said, amen. Brother David said, oh me. I don't know. I didn't even come over here for choir. I can't imagine what choir was here last night. Was it bad? Was he all right? Amen. He must have put on a happy face and come over. I really felt sorry for him. Really did. I said, man, now he's got to go over and do the choir, and his heart's broken. Isn't it amazing how we get so caught up in something that means so little? Oh, it's a national champion. But is it really that important? When it relates to eternity, I noted this. For right now, today, Ohio State is number one in the land, but they must play one more bowl game, and the winners of that game will be proclaimed number one in the land. Who's number one? Lizzie White always sings with the kids. Down in their class because they try to beat Eddie's class in attendance. We're number one. We're number one. Poor Eddie. There for a while. But I think he started beating him last few weeks. I think Eddie's been winning. And Eddie's been, we're number one. We're number one. I love that competitiveness. That's great. But notice this. They're number one today. But in 50 days when they play that game, they could lose that status and go back to maybe two or three, and someone else could be number one. Are you with me? Now, that might be exciting to some, but the number one ranking, stay with me, the number one ranking is short-lived. I mean, you wouldn't know it. You would think the eternity was going on yesterday's game. With all the publicity and all the money people spent and all the things that people did, hello? You would think something of monumental that would affect something what was really riding on yesterday's game. All was riding on was a national title. Hello? Now watch, stay with me. Let's say Ohio State wins. They got the national title. We'll be excited. I got coffee cups I drink. It says Ohio State National Champs 202. I deliberately drink when David's there. I love it. But think with me, even when you're the national champion, it's short-lived. Because after this year's over, next year when the season starts again, they're searching for a new national champion. In other words, it's not permanent. Are you with me? How many are still with me? I mean, it's a short-lived battle because next year a new search for another number one team will start again. The 1-2 battle each year. What's so sad is this. The world gets so excited that for something that really is short-lived and really has no value as far as eternal weight, eternal meaning. You know, we're just temporary here. Our life is but a vapor. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'm going to keep rooting for Ohio State. Don't misunderstand me. Jimmy, when they play, I'll be sitting in front of that TV in the bowl game, and we'll be, you know, I'll have the Chex Mix and the ice. I had a pitcher of iced tea, and I mean, man, I'm gonna be rooting for them. But I'm gonna tell you something. It's sad that we'll root for them, but we won't root for Jesus. People get excited about, listen to this. People get excited about the Fiesta Bowl. Come on, and the Gator Bowl, and the Rose Bowl, and the Cotton Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl, and the ones that are really crummy, they go to the Toilet Bowl. There's all kinds of bowl games. Probably don't call it that, but, you know, people won't even listen. But they fail to see something. They fail to see the importance of the real battle that really takes place in the near. Listen, but the whole country got excited about this game of Ohio State and Michigan. But can I tell you, and I'm going to show you the scripture today, there's two contests coming up by two great foes that are far, far more important that's coming up and far more eternal value than what happened in Ohio State yesterday. And no one even thinks about them. Notice, Satan and the devil has always wanted to be number one. In Isaiah 14:12, we read how he in heaven he tried to rise up and be number one. Jesus put him down, kicked him out of heaven. Jesus, yesterday you saw some of those linebackers came in. Boy, they slammed those guys the ball. They slammed them down. Jesus slammed Satan down. Bam! I love them when they really put them out. Good shot, amen. I love those hard shots. It's just in me. Amen. Luke 10:18, though, Jesus slammed Satan. Oh, it says, I beheld Satan. Luke 10:18. I beheld Satan, a lightning fall from heaven. He slammed him out of heaven. Now, the devil, 1 Peter 5:8 teaches us, he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is recruiting people. Just like Michigan recruits people, Ohio State recruits people. Satan, he's recruiting people. He's recruited people like Cain, like Nimrod, like Pharaoh, like King Ahab, like Jezebel, his wife, which is Hillary Clinton. If you ever want to see a picture of Ahab and Jezebel, Bill and Hillary Clinton are definitely the Old Testament type in the New Testament. Satan had Goliath on his side, Judas Iscariot. In the near future, he's going to have Antichrist and the false prophet. Jesus, he recruits people too. He has Moses and Joshua, Elijah, John the Baptist, Peter, James, and John, Apostle Paul. And down through the ages, they've all been recruiting. Some on the devil's side, some on Jesus' side. Some on the number two side, some on number one side. Who's number one? Who's number one? Are you with me? Huh. The number one and number two teams are not Michigan and Ohio State. There's a bigger contest coming up that we ought to be excited about, and we never even talk about it. The average Christian. And what's sad, Ruthie, the average Christian doesn't even know about it. Did you know there's a far greater contest coming up that's got eternal weight of value for people's eternity, and most people don't even know it? We as Christians that know it, we ought to be more excited about that coming up than we are about the Ohio State Michigan game. I'm not against having fun on the Ohio State Michigan game, but we should be more excited about what God's got in the future than what we got for a temporal thing here now. Am I making sense to anybody? We have two big contests coming up, but not many people, even Christians, are excited about them. Listen, all America was up in the air yesterday. Huh. They matched up number one and number two, which they called the game of the century. What you don't understand is there's some games of eternity coming up. Not just a century, eternity. Huh. Next they got the national title in the bowl game. But, you know, Jesus and the devil, They have a big contest coming up. They've got two big contests coming up. They're far greater and far more value than what the game was yesterday. Number one, there's two contests coming up against number one and number two. By the way, number one wins both times. So I imagine if Ohio State plays Michigan again, they'll probably win too. Just by that much. But there's two contests, two big battles coming up between one and two that are monumental. And people should know this, and they ought to prepare for it and get ready and get thinking about it and be more excited and more preparation. You realize the preparation people went, Carl, to go to that game? They were selling tickets on eBay for $1,500 to $3,000. A ticket to get in. We watched them. Dave and I, some of those tickets, they went for $850. Boy, I got to get ready. I can't do. I got to get my clothes packed and get food. I got to get that game. I got to get there 3 days ahead of time. Hello, how many are still with me? Well, there's two big contests coming up, far greater than the Michigan Ohio State. And the first one, I want you to turn with me, and please turn with me because I'm just going to stay in this book. I've only got about 10 more minutes of preaching. But I want you to see what I'm going to show you. In Revelation 16:16, the next big game, the next big contest between one and two is in Revelation 16:16. It's not going to be played in Columbus. It's going to be played outside of Jerusalem. It's called Megiddo. It's called Armageddon. Notice, in Revelation 16:16, he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Brother Bobby, in the near future, there's going to be a group of people that come together, and it's going to be squaring off Satan against Jesus. The first go-around, Satan and Jesus, is called Armageddon. Look at Revelation 19. Look at Revelation 19. Now, when's this going to happen, preacher? It's going to happen 7 years after the rapture. Bobby, the Lord's going to come in the clouds. He's going to call us up. We're going to have brand new bodies. 7 years later, Joel, we're going to come back with Jesus, with glorified bodies, in what the Bible calls His revelation. Look up here, church. When Jesus comes first, He comes in the clouds. That's the rapture. Only the Christians see Him. It's a mystery. It's a snatching out, a calling out. Are you with me, church? We go up and be with Christ. He's going to give us glorified bodies. By the way, that's where we're Christians at that 7 years. That tribulation is going on this earth. We're going to have the judgment seat of Christ. For how we serve Christ up there. That's where you get the crowns and stuff during that 7 year time. At the end of that 7 years, we're coming back. The rapture is when we go in the clouds. The revelation of Jesus Christ is when He literally reveals Himself to the whole world. I got a kick out of this, Carl. Can you imagine how many people saw that game yesterday? How many think there was lots? You know what, Brother Bobby? I got news for people. That was nothing. Because at this bowl game, at Armageddon Bowl, at this battle, in Revelation chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 7, Revelation 1, 7, it says, every eye, the whole entire world's going to see Jesus. Not just a part of the world. Every eye shall see Him, the Bible says in Revelation 1:7, when He comes back. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? That's a pretty good crowd. The entire population of the whole world. Not bad, huh, Joe? I think this is a bigger game than Ohio State and Michigan. How many think it's a bigger game? Bigger crowd, too. And bigger opponents. These really are the one and two opponents. This is number one. This is number two. There ain't no kidding about it. Look at Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven open, because the reason open, because we're up there with them. I didn't have this problem. In Revelation 4, 1, that's the rapture. It says, come up hither. The Christian goes, heaven opens up in 4, 1 of Revelation. Then it closes, then it opens up again in 19. That we're coming back down. I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse. I like how I think it's the Southern Carolina. They always have a big white horse come charging down the ball field. Jesus is going to be coming down from heaven down to earth on a white horse. How many ever see a Sinclair horse and stuff? And by the way, people are going to be able. They're going to see Jesus come. Here he comes. And Satan's going to have him. Get ready. Here he comes. And by the way, we're going to be with them. We're going to be riding on white horses too. Notice, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteous he just judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire. Woo, he's hot. In his head were as many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he that was coming from heaven, was Christ, was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called, that's Jesus, the Word of God. How many see that? And the armies, that's all saved people. You got saved, you go up in the rapture. The armies which are in heaven. See, remember, we got a new glorified body. We're coming back now with them. How many are with me? The armies which are in heaven follow with him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword with it. He shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treads upon the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And as you keep reading here, it says he puts a stalk to him. And the blood goes as high as a horse's bridle. A horse is about 5 foot high. There you have a river of blood 200 miles long. From people and 5 foot high. That's a lot of blood. Are you with me? Pick up in verse 19. I saw the beast. The beast, remember, during the tribulation, there's a beast called the Antichrist. How many are with me? And I saw, Revelation 13, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse against his army. And the beast was taken. And the false prophet, that's the Antichrist and the false prophet, which soon as the rapture happens, you'll go to a one world government and a one world system, and there'll be a world dictator, and that dictator is going to be the Antichrist. And in the middle of the tribulation, that's 3.5 years there, middle of 7, he'll proclaim himself as God. In the temple, which they will build. The Jewish people will build that third temple, I'm telling you. It'll be real soon, too, because I think it's real soon to come. Notice what he does to that false prophet we call the Antichrist. The beast and the false prophet's that religious leader, like what we call the modern-day Pope today. Not the Pope today, but whoever will be in the religion. There'll be a one-world religion during the tribulation. How many are with me? There'll be a one world leader. I'm using him as an illustration. There'll be a one world leader, which is the Antichrist. Then there'll be a one religious figure. Kind of like John the Baptist foretold of Jesus to come and pay tribute. This false prophet's going to bring honor to the beast. How many are with me? All right. With which he deceived and had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshiped in his image, these both were cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Man, Jesus and the Antichrist. Woo! Jesus wins. Remember now, though, even though it's the Antichrist and the false prophet, you know who's behind, you know who the backer is behind Antichrist. Satan, Antichrist. How many are with me? So this battle's coming up in the near future. Are you with me? 7 years after the rapture, and I believe the rapture could happen while I'm preaching right now. So, boy, you think we'd be getting more excited about this battle than Ohio State and Michigan. Because this one really counts, because all the people, Miss Diane, all the people that go in this, all the, Brother Jimmy, if we don't reach those people, they get volunteered in the Satan's army, all those people, verse 20, they die and go to hell forever. Brother Carl, we ought to be more excited about this, trying to keep people from going to hell, than to get excited about Michigan and Ohio State. Go ahead, I'm going to root for Ohio State, but let's root a whole much more for Jesus. Listen, why don't we get excited? Hey, you got to get saved, man. Jesus is coming back. If you don't get saved, look up here. When the rapture happens, every person that's living right now, even some of you if you're not saved, every person, Miss Mert, that knows that they need to be saved and don't get saved, when the rapture happens, those people are going to be, the scripture says in Timothy, Thessalonians 2, that they will believe a lie and they'll be damned. I'm going to share that scripture tonight, by the way. But that's not what I'm preaching on. Because they did not receive the love of the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. If people right now don't get saved and they know they need to be saved, when the rapture happens, they're going to get the mark. Because the Bible says God's going to, they'll say, Joe, hey, Joe, if it happens, I'll know you told me the truth. No. God says, if you don't believe now, when it happens, He's going to send a strong delusion. You're going to believe a lie. And during that tribulation, that 7-year period after we're gone, people are going to get the mark of the beast. Don't think that mark ain't coming. They're already talking about marks. They're already talking about identification. I mean, listen, everything's in gear to go. National identity card. I mean, you've heard me preach. Listen, it's all in place. When I was a kid preacher, people used to laugh at me when I say, now they can't laugh. It's all the structure's there. We're ready for a one world government. We're ready for a one world leader. And we're ready to say, hey, I don't care what I got to do. Give me the mark. As long as I can have a peaceful life. They'll believe a lie. That's coming. Now, you know people that are saved. You know people that are lost. You ought to be working harder to get them saved, because they're going to be at this. They're going to be at this. If the rapture happens today, and they're lost, they're going to go into the tribulation. And if they don't die, they're going to get the mark. And you know, if they die in the tribulation, they die at Armageddon. Either way, they're going to die and go to hell. You think we'd be more excited about trying to tell them not to go to hell, to try not to be at this battle? Because this is the battle for 1 and 2. This really is the battle of 1 and 2. And one wins this one. Let me show you the second battle. It's a battle. First you got the battle of Armageddon. Then you got the battle of Gog and Magog. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. After this battle of Armageddon, Jesus stands on this earth for 1,000 years. Jimmy, he sets up a kingdom, 1,000 years. We say a prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. He's going to have 1,000 years of millennium reign here. We're going to be with him. We're going to have glorified bodies. But there'll be people here that come through the trib that had natural bodies. They'll be having babies. They won't have glorified bodies. They came through the trib. They made it through the trib. And so in the millennium, they'll be having babies. Satan's put in, when you read the scripture here, the start of it, Satan's put in a pit for 1,000 years. Then at the end of that 1,000 years, that millennium, the kingdom, millennium means 1,000. He comes out. There's one final battle. This is look at verse 7 of Revelation 20. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of the prison, out of his prison, and shall go to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters. Gog and Magog, together to battle. You see that? There's that second battle. To battle the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. There's so many people. When you count the sand of the sea, it's multi millions and billions. They're going to be all kinds of people here. And they went up on the earth. By the way, how can there be that way, preacher? There's hardly anyone going to die during the millennium. Very few people will die during the millennium. Can you imagine 1,000 years of repopulating the whole world with very few deaths? That's a lot of people. Hello? And there went up out of the breath of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints. That's God's people, the saints. Above the below city. What's the below city? Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil, hallelujah, that deceived them were cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He puts them down for good. This time it's Satan and Jesus, one and two, battling it out. And number one wins again. Amen? Now, stay with me. Look at verse 15. And whoso is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, we'll be in our glorified bodies when this happens. But you know what? We need to be excited. We should be warning people of the first battle. The second battle will be there. But the first battle will be up in heaven. So we better warn people now because Jackie, all the hype, all these weeks, Michigan, Ohio, for 7 weeks. I can't wait till they play. Listen, this is for sure to happen. We ought to get this hyped up. This battle is going to come. One and two are going to square off. Why don't we get excited about this one and two squaring off? Because this is going to last for eternity, the results from this. Am I making any sense to anybody? I just want to close with this thought. Make no mistake, Jesus is number one. I want to read this scripture to you. In the book of Philippians, every knee shall bow, and everyone shall name Jesus Christ as Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's number one. Jesus is number one and always will be. He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to read you one last scripture. It's over in Timothy. It's in 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Are we? Are we really fighting a good fight? I had Johnny play those fight songs. Dun, 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 you know, dun, dun, boom, boom. The Ohio State fight songs. Boy, we get excited. Are we fighting a good fight for Jesus? I think our fight songs ought to be Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I think it'll be nothing but the blood of Jesus. I believe our fight song ought to be Victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. Amen? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Have you laid hold of it? Have you laid hold of eternal life? Through number one, Jesus. Where thou art called and professed a good profession before many witnesses, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate received a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without rebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bobby, I don't care what people says, he's coming back. Oh, those preachers been preaching for years. He's coming back. The Apostle Paul, 2,000 years ago, was preaching he's coming back. He is coming back. Let me read this last two verses. Which in his times past, he, talking about Christ, who was blessed and the only potentate, the King of Kings, and the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who, Christ, only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto him, unto whom no man has seen, nor Kinsey, to whom be honor and power and everlasting amen. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a far greater powers than Michigan and Ohio State that's going to square off in the near future. Satan, number two, and Jesus, number one. They're going to be squaring off. And by the way, we got to wait to see if Michigan or Ohio State didn't lose a game to see. This is for sure. We know this is going to square off. Now, let me tell you something. Ohio State's not number one. Michigan's not number one. LSU's not number one. Notre Dame's not number one. Rutgers, and found out last night, they're not number one. LSU, they're not number one. Indiana's not number one. Illinois is not number one. Wisconsin's not number one. I'm going to tell you right now, none of those teams are number one. The real number one is Jesus. He's number one. We're number one. We're number one. No, Joe. He's number one. He's number one. And we ought to go out and tell the whole world He's number one. So they don't have to end up with number two. Because all those that follow number two follow the path of death and then eternal fire and hell. Let's get more excited about people dying and going to hell than we do about a football game. Not against football. I'll be cheering. But let's not lose focus. I'm not against having fun. Please don't misread the preacher. I have fun. I played around. You know, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's not lose reality. Let's keep reality. Let's keep it focused. What's really important. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time we've had. I tried to put this analogy. I hope it meant something to the people. I'm trying to bring an everyday event to bring reality of the Scriptures to their life that they might think about it more. So, Father, I pray you'll bless, and I pray, dear God, if there be any here that's on the number two team, I pray that they would be saved before it's too late. Pray, dear God, if they're here and they've never trusted Christ as their Savior, that they would realize that there's a coming battle, one against two. And all that's in two will die and go to hell forever. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you say that? I'm sure, with a raised hand. I'm positive I'm saved. Thank you. You may put them down. How many would be honest with themselves and honest with God and say, Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Who'd say that? Yes, sir. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Who else? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died. And I don't want to miss the big game. And I don't want to end up with Satan in hell. Pray for me. How many as a Christian say, Preacher, I know some lost people, and lately I've not been sharing the gospel with them, and I need to go to them. Pray that God will help me to go to them before it's everlasting too late. I need to get a burden again. I need to get an urgency like I did for about that football game. Pray for me that I'd have that urgency. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. There's an urgency. Trust me. There's an urgency. The game. Where it's almost game time. It's game time's quicker than what you think. Game time's going to be here before you know it. We better get prepared. We better get ready. We better get all we can on the team. Because once it happens, it's too late then. One and two are going to square off. One's going to win. I read the back of the Bible. One wins. Jesus wins. Heavenly Father, I did the best I could. I pray, dear God, that we would think about these little thoughts. Pray they'd be helpful in the future. Lord, there's a coming battle, far greater, with far more importance than the Ohio State-Michigan game. And Father, I pray that we would see the importance of the coming battles of 1 and 2, the real 1 and 2, the lasting 1 and 2, not these little temporal things. And Father, help us to reach people before it's everlasting too late. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse.